You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of what's been a fantastic installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. My shotgun co-host, Keith Alexander, who's normally with me every week for the beginning of the show, is the closer this evening because he was down at the Ole Miss football game watching one of the most venerable rivalries in all of college football, Ole Miss versus Wofford. Keith, what is Wofford?
It's a small college in South Carolina. I think it has about 1,500 students. It's the smallest school to field Division I football and basketball. Of course, they're not at the top of the chart, so to speak. They're not world beaters, but they are Division I, so Ole Miss needed a sleeper in between playing Florida State number 4 and Alabama next week number 1.
So that's tough.
I stayed through the halftime of the game. Then they had a delay because of a thunderstorm, and I decided to pack it in and come back. And then I, much to my surprise, I tuned in and heard you and Eddie going at it. And I said, well, what's going on? And Eddie called me earlier and said that you were somehow out of pocket today. And I wondered how that was going to play out. And then I get a call from Sam saying, you're up for the third hour. So I'm ready to go, man.
Hey, listen, yeah, we got Keith on the phone tonight with a little miscommunication in our our travel plans, and we've got travel plans galore. We've got a couple of speeches coming up in Arkansas and Michigan, respectively, so check out our website for more information on those two events, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But, Keith, we've got so much to cover this hour. We're going to spend about 2 minutes on each of these because I really want to pick your brain, or get your response, I should say, on each story. We'll stick with football for a moment. Now, everybody knows what Colin Kaepernick has done, and a lot of other black football players in the NFL are now refusing to stand for the national anthem. It's really horrible. They're saddled with these contracts. They're paid tens of millions of dollars. It's just a tough life for them, and so they're upset. They're oppressed. I hope all of them sit. I hope the National Football League folds. I wish everybody would quit going. But interesting about Colin Kaepernick, who was the one who started this trend of disrespecting the national anthem. A great story behind the national anthem, too, with Francis Scott Key and the Battle of Fort McHenry, I believe it was. Very inspirational. But he's sitting for it. It all started, it would appear, with a woman. Now, Colin Kaepernick was raised by cucked Vikings up in Wisconsin. He was raised as a Christian, but, of course, he has no connection with that now, it would appear. He, as most people would not know, became engaged to a Muslim woman this summer, converted to Islam, and his Muslim fiance is also a big advocate of the Black Lives Matter movement. So now he's this radical social justice warrior on the football field, and it all began with a woman. Your take on that, Keith?
Well, my take is this. First of all, this woman is obviously a black Muslim, which is not even bona fide Muslim. They are, they exist for the purpose of hating white people. Everything they used to accuse the Ku Klux Klan of being regarding black people, the black Muslims are regarding white people. They, I think that the Ku Klux Klan was slandered somewhat in, the presentation of what they believed regarding black people, but there's no doubt that black Muslims and their current leader, Louis Farrakhan, hate whites, and they have created this crazy mythology about white people being manufactured by some mad black scientist in a test tube or something. But nonetheless, I'm with you. I think anything that can discredit professional football and basketball, which are both dominated by blacks, not because they're more talented, but because the powers that be have decided this is one place in which they can allow blacks to, one, get incredibly wealthy, and two, shine. That's the purpose of these sports now. And of course, they're supported almost entirely by white people who buy the tickets, buy the licensed merchandise, and support the whole enterprise. I am waiting for the dam to break. I'm waiting for people to decide that basically these people hate us. Why are we supporting them? I'm with you. So Colin Kaepernick, keep it up, buddy. Brandon Harris, keep it up. Or Marshall, whatever his name was, the guy that was taking the knee. Keep it up. Show these people how much you despise white America, because white Americans need to be slapped out of their stupor. They need to get out of their brain fog that allows them to escape from the reality of the grim future facing them in black-run America, and find out just exactly who these black athletes, who they glorify, what they really think of them and other white people.
Well, you know, another thing is all of these progressively worse radical egalitarian movements, and it really all started with suffrage and the feminist movement, feminism. We were talking about this earlier in the week, Keith. In 1956, the illegitimacy rate was 4%. In 2016, it is 41%. And, of course, Colin Kaepernick is a product of this culture.
Well, it's even worse than that. I go back to the 1950 census figures in which 22% of all illegitimate births, or 22% of births in the black community were illegitimate. Only 1.5% of white births were. Now, the white birth illegitimacy rate at the last, the 2010 census, was up to 25%. Blacks are now at 73% plus. Almost 3 out of 4 black babies born are born into a single-parent family, their mother alone. And that's because welfare programs have subsidized illegitimacy and immorality.
And this is not God's ideal of a family, with a husband at the head of the family.
No, it's dysfunction.
A wife.
Allowing black children, particularly black boys, to grow up to be unmanageable misfits who wind up getting killed by each other or occasionally by the police because they are incorrigible and cannot comply with reasonable directions and instructions from people in positions of authority, bosses, police, ministers, you name it.
And that's why, you know, listen, Jesse Lee.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Jesse Lee Peterson is doing a hero's work, and he's a great American, and he's trying to address this issue. I wish more blacks would, because this is a far bigger problem than the specter of so-called racism.
Well,
and of course, Sean Bergen lost his job for mentioning
it. It's a perfect catch-all excuse for all dysfunction in the black community. But the black community, despite all the supposed progress they have made, the triumph of liberalism and the civil rights movement in particular, are now actually in much worse shape generally than they were in 1950. Go figure.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it's a shame. We want the best for all people, including our people as well. And anyway, we got a break. Keith, when we come back, we're going to cover no less than 3, maybe 4 short stories in this next segment. So get your game face on, brother. It's going to go fast. Stay tuned.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spammed because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, we got to move very, very quickly. There was a lot of little quick stories that really caught my eye. None of them big enough really to dominate or warrant an entire segment. And so we'll move quickly here with Keith. There was a picture that Kellyanne Conway, the Trump campaign manager, took of the Trump War Room in New York. And all of the staff for the campaign War Room came and took a picture with the Donald at the center. And there was a little media row about this, Keith, because they were all white. So we actually posted this on my Twitter. And see, this is the thing. Race doesn't exist, so these people say it's a social construct. But by God, they can count through. They'll sit and look at pictures and count how many whites are there versus the number of blacks. And then race exists, doesn't it, Keith? Because if it can be used as a bludgeon.
Yeah, it's heads I win, tails you lose. It doesn't exist if it could possibly benefit white people, but if it could possibly benefit non-white people, it's front and center and, headline news. What the Trump campaign shows is that Donald Trump is not affected by the current religion of political correctness. Thank goodness he isn't. That's probably the best characteristic that he has. I don't know that he is totally on the same page as we are. In fact, I'm quite certain he isn't. But his tone deafness to the dog whistles of political correctness is probably his most endearing quality to us. Think about this. You know, Donald Trump's campaign is going to, he has reached out specifically to black people, said, if you've been treated poorly by the Democrats, they put you on welfare. And that's how they have gotten you to buy into losing the prospect of having good middle-class lifestyle-sustaining jobs in the manufacturing sector and otherwise, as they ship those plants overseas as part of their globalist enterprise to equalize incomes throughout the world. What Trump's campaign will show is whether black people really want good-paying jobs and want to work for a living and have opportunities, or if they do, they will vote for Donald Trump. If they would rather just get increased welfare benefits and try to have more and more of their antisocial behavior decriminalized, like the current move to take away the traditional sanction for being convicted of a felony, which is losing your right to vote, but trying to take away all the sanctions and penalties that exist in our society for criminal behavior. If that's where they are, they'll continue to vote Democrat. Let's hide and watch this November and see whether they want a life of welfare and crime or whether they want a life of hard work and good pay.
And, you know, I'm fine with Trump going to the minority communities. I think he went up to where Harlem or somewhere, some black church in the North. I'm fine with that. I wish there were more people like Jesse Lee Peterson that are not of our race, but are out there and are good people and are trying to do what's right and live right and support things that can make America great again. I wish every non-white voted for Trump. I have no problem with him going after that vote. He should be doing that, and I applaud him for doing that. But he should also mention what he's going to do for European Americans, because he never hesitates to say what he's going to do for blacks and Hispanics. But so there's still some room to grow for Trump. But let me ask you this, because we're never going to go through all of these quick hits very quickly. CNN now wrote a book 6 years ago about how everything a white person does that liberal doesn't like is racism. In fact, every white is a racist, according to the press. CNN just came out with an article. This is a CNN headline article that said mathematics, the school subject math, is racist. Math is racist. Yeah, very quickly, 30 seconds, just respond. This is what passes for news now at CNN. Are you there, Keith? Am I here? As they said in Full Metal Jacket, is this you, John Wayne? Is this me? Well, while we're waiting on Keith, CNN did, in fact, say that math was racist. And so we have our producer getting Keith back. I tell you, there's something wrong with the phones around here tonight. So we had two guys, Jared and Keith, lose the connection. But also, I will ask Keith about this when he comes back. What happened to Greta? Greta Van Susteren has been dumped at Fox News after 14 years. She was on CNN before that. Look, Greta, you're all right, I guess. But the lead-in for O'Reilly, I just don't know. At all the beautiful women at Fox that they could have put on in the 6 o'clock central time slot, I don't know why they went with Greta. As Keith says from time to time, some people can make a freight train take a dirt road, and so maybe that was the reason. But math is racist, Keith. Very quickly, your response to that, 30 seconds or less, then I'll get to the next topic.
Who is racist now?
Mathematics is racist. CNN came out with a headline that read, math is racist. Math is racist.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, anything that black people don't do as well as white people in is racist. For example,
math is supposed to be the universal language. Math is supposed to be the universal language because it's just numbers.
Yeah, well, it's a universal language that they can't excel in, so consequently, it's racist. Racist is a code word. Basically, black people are not responsible for any deficiency in their lives. If housing is, you know, in black neighborhoods is subpar, then our housing policy is racist. I've noticed that there's this big move in places like Memphis to tear down old homes because they supposedly have lead pipes in them, and lead pipes make the water tainted with lead, and that's what's holding black children back. That's why they're not scoring as well academically as white kids, because their brains are being pickled in lead water. All I know is that I was raised in a neighborhood with old houses that had lead pipes. My children live in an old neighborhood, and they were raised in a house that had lead pipes. But guess what? They all excelled. Phi Beta Kappa, law review editors, in medical school, stuff like this. So that lead that's supposedly poisoning the brains of black children didn't poison my children's brains. All of this is a bunch of hoo-ha. And it's time that people started calling out the establishment on this. We're not going to buy your lies anymore. You're going to have to deal with the realities of race like we do on this program.
All right, Keith, one more to you. We really won't have time to get into this, but we'll set the table and then carry it over into the next segment. We all know what happened when the Southern states had segregated schools back in the 50s and 60s. They mobilized the National Guard and integrated them at the point of a bayonet. Just this last week in the current year, as it is known in the alt-right, California State University at Los Angeles announced they are offering segregated dormitories to black students. In other words, you have to be black in order to be able to go into these dorms. It's exactly not segregated from male and female, just black. You had a great line on this. What was it, Keith?
It was the Frantz Fanon line. Frantz Fanon was a black man from French Guiana that emigrated to France and became a Marxist. And he said, the true dream of the slave is not to achieve his freedom, but rather that he and his slave master exchange places. Now the blacks are about to take over, or non-whites are going to be a majority in America. All of a sudden, they want to resurrect the concept of segregated schools, segregated everything else, I'm sure, because they will now be able to thrust the inferior position on whites. That's it.
All right, let's pause right there. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the flip side and then a couple of other topics as the political cesspool comes down the home stretch tonight, live broadcast for September the 10th.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Facing a growing backlash over its authoritarian population control policies, which have included coerced abortion and female infanticide, China's communist government pressured internet providers into blocking and deleting blogs and social media posts published by Dr. Fujian Yi, a senior scientist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Family planning was born in haste, conducted with violence, and will end in equivocation and cover-up, wrote Dr. Yi in his book, Big Country with an Empty Nest. In early August, reports the New York Times, the government's chief internet gatekeeper, the Cyberspace Administration of China, deleted 12 years' worth of essays and comments published by Dr. Yi. This was most likely done at the request of the government's Family Planning and Health Commission agency. Of course I'm furious, commented Dr. Yi, but not as furious as everyone might think, because what's different today from 10 years ago is that public opinion has shifted. Like many other Chinese, Yi is concerned about perceived overpopulation, but opposes coercive measures that have been in place since the early 1980s. The United Nations Fund for Population Activities has underwritten China's draconian program and extolled it as a model for achieving the world body's population reduction goals. As with all other UN undertakings, the United Nations Fund for Population Activities depends on money extracted from American taxpayers who have no way of holding the agency accountable for its actions. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so continuing from the last segment, the question is, I think we're all just on the edge of our seats here wondering, in light of the university in California that is now offering segregated dorms to black students, will Obama federalize the National Guard as Kennedy did in the 60s?
Don't hold your breath waiting for that. See, the citadels of cultural and hegemonic power are now in the hands of liberals, and liberals hate whites. We don't back up from that conclusion. That is the only conclusion to be drawn over the last 70 years of American history. And now that hatred is poised to manifest itself in inferior schools and inferior facilities for whites. And that will be, because I guarantee you, when they have the segregated dorms, there's no way that that's going to be in any way inferior to the dorms of whites. In fact, you can bet your bottom dollar that if there is any disparity, it's going to be a disparity that will redound to the favor of blacks and other non-whites and against whites. So get ready for the brand new America and the second-class citizenship that our elite have engineered and have prepared for you and me and our progeny.
Let me ask you this, Keith, since we're on the topic of Obama and federalizing the National Guard to end the horrors of segregation over there in California. But we talked about this, a couple of months ago, and I said I was going to ask you about it on the radio. Everybody in the world that I've seen calls ISIS ISIS, except for Obama. He's the only person I've ever seen that continues to be adamant about referring to them as ISIL. So there's ISIS, and then Obama calls them ISIL. Tell us why. You said you knew why he did that.
Okay, the reason I believe he did that is that ISIS stands for Islamic State in Syria. ISIL stands for Islamic State in Lebanon. He wants to localize ISIS in Lebanon so that he can divorce it from the current refugee crisis that is happening in Syria, which is localized there, particularly in the environs around Aleppo, the city in northern Syria near the Turkish border, one of the oldest cities in the world. I know a lot of Syrian people whose ancestors hail from Aleppo and have relatives there. The refugee crisis is directly related to the activities of ISIS. ISIL is a minor player in any of this stuff. They have Islamic states in every one of these Islamic countries. But he wants to focus on ISIL because Lebanon is next door to Syria, and nobody in the mainstream media will call his hand on it. You'll hear people like Sean Hannity saying, why won't he call them Islamic terrorists? But another question is, why is he trying to draw the focus away from Syria and the Syrian refugee crisis that's threatening not only America, but Europe in particular, and Lebanon, where there's basically there's a dormant group called ISIL there? ISIL is not the group that is causing all the displacement in the Islamic world. It's ISIS. But he doesn't want us to make that connection.
Okay, well, that's as good of a theory as I've ever heard, because I was in a barber shop with my son a few days ago, and Obama was on, and he was giving a talk about, or made mention in the talk about ISIL, and everybody in the barber shop, why does he do that? What kind of code is this? And I was like, I don't actually know why he does refer to them exclusively as ISIL, whereas everyone else refers to them as ISIS. So what else do I have on the topic here to talk to you about, Keith? Actually, I don't know if we have time to play this. Do we have time to play the Hillary Clinton coughing fit? I said we had that on deck, but I didn't cue it up for this. All right, so we'll try to get that ready. But Hillary's been out there. She was coughing up a lung, bless her heart. in Cleveland a couple of days ago. Maybe the Lord's smiting her for naming us. I would offer this very quickly, though. Folks, remember that the political cesspool is in the midst right now. We're almost halfway through our third quarter fundraising drive. I guess we're a little more than a third through at this point, and it is getting off to a very slow start. Now, we were a little late getting the letters out because of the Labor Day holiday, but, and by the way, happy belated Labor Day to everyone who actually works for a living. But we need your support. I mean, we are right here in the middle of the eye of the hurricane right now with what's going on in politics in this country, being a part of this movement, being key figures in this movement, and of course, being a very big voice in radio. We've gotten off to a very slow start for our third quarter fundraising drive, which is, of course, our life's blood. We need your support. We've got great incentives. You can give tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on donate. We need you to rally and stand with us. Let all good men and women be counted. Let's play this clip very quickly. We may not play it all, but we'll play a little bit. Let's go with it.
I've been talking so... every time I think about Trump, I get allergic. Boy, we have 63 days to go. Well, thank you. Whoa. Well, you just heard the next vice president, didn't you? In addition to thanking Marsha Fudge, I also thank your great Senator Sherrod Brown.
All right, we'll just pause it right there. It goes on like that for a couple of more minutes of just hacking and coughing. And then later she had to cancel a small press availability on her airplane with her lapdogs in the media. But she's not sick, Keith. And those were actually the highlights of her remarks. And it went on like that for 4 minutes. She said she was having allergies in Cleveland that day last week. The pollen index was at 1 in Cleveland. There was absolutely no pollen even anywhere near Ohio. And so what do you make of all that, Keith? Dr. Alexander, I should
say. She sounds like the heroine in the opera line who's consumption. You know, I've never heard of anything like this before. She could not get out a coherent sentence because of this coughing fit that she had. This is the reason why there's talk about her health. Frankly, somebody can't even address when she's having a public forum like this, reason to suspect that she's not healthy enough to run for president. Of course, the left would be able to put, you know, they'd like to have her like Lenin in a casket, in a climate-controlled casket, preserved forever if necessary, and keep her on life support in order to maintain control of the presidency. But she's obviously not up to the task in more ways than one. Not only is she not temperamentally and morally up to the task, she's not physically and health-wise up to the task of being president. That's why I'm really watching with a lot of eagerness how she conducts herself in the upcoming presidential debate. This dry run they had recently, I thought Donald Trump mopped the floor with her. He came. That's why they had to have them in separate rooms. There's no way that she can stand up to his withering of verbal repartee. She can't even get a word out.
Well, she couldn't even handle Rat Lauer, who's one of her boys. You know, Rat was given some questions, and she withered at his mercy, and all they did was protect her. The entire national media, international media, just whipped Matt Lauer and defended Hillary. But it's going to be hard if she can't handle Matt Lauer, who's one of her friends, and I think someone who's been very supportive of her. It's going to be hard to handle Trump. When we come back, we got one more segment with Keith Alexander. We saved Scoop Stanton for the very end of the show tonight because he's got a quick word about 9/11. 9/11 is tomorrow. And we're going to end the show with that. And, of course, we'll be back to regular schedule next week with Keith in the co-pilot seat at the beginning of the program. But stay tuned. Still one segment to go tonight, and we're happy to bring it to you.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. And I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke, and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking, and I've, like, tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking, because my mom sends those things out. And she's, like, sitting here folding them up, and I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong, and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. It's been a topsy-turvy show tonight. We weren't planning on covering the alt-right press conference because, of course, until last Wednesday, it hadn't even been announced, or just really, what, 3 days ago it was announced. And so we moved Jared and Richard to the first hour. Keith was out of town. So we moved Eddie to the second hour. Now we have Keith in at the third hour, although Keith and I are not in the studio together tonight because of some miscommunication that came secondhand from the bombardier. And we're waiting on Scoop to call in, although he normally calls in the first hour. Now he's calling in the last segment of the last hour, if he calls in, or perhaps something may have happened to him as well. But we roll with the punches and we continue to give you quality programming. Keith, anything you want to cover while we wait on Scoop?
Well, let's talk about that alt-right press conference that Hillary in the past couple of weeks.
You may have to step outside if you're inside a missile silo or a nuclear bunker. It's you're coming through a little spotty. If you can go to a place where you can get better reception.
Best I can. I'm trying to stay hooked up to a power source.
I understand that.
I've got to do that. So I'm in. But let me just say this. Let me try to talk a little more emphatically then. She's basically reduced to trying to focus on Twitter trolls. That's what she is complaining about more than anything else. This alt-right, quite frankly, we take some credit for being part of that. But, you know, basically all we do, we're like heretics. You know, this man Smythe has written an article about understanding the Trump revolution. Basically, people like us on the alt-right, the alternative right, represent heretics, and he casts the whole argument in a paradigm like if Christians, if a strongly Christian culture and Trump had done something to offend Christians and Christian sensibilities, then they'd be going after him. But of course, that's far from the case. In fact, our cultural overlords now are as decidedly anti-Christian, but what has replaced Christianity as the state religion is this multicultural anti-racist viewpoint. And for that, we are the heretics. So they have had to have somebody to align with, and we're it.
Well, that's a good observation, Keith. And of course, you know, we're anti-racist also in, I guess, a pure sense. We don't want to be the victims of discrimination because of who we are. And, of course, that's what's going on right now. But let's go to Scoop, who has a word about 9/11, and then we'll let Keith wrap it up. Go, Scoop.
Yes, good evening, James, and the rest of the family. Tomorrow is the 15th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th. I want to give you a status update of what America has done since Black Tuesday. I'm not going to go into the actual events of September 11th or the war overseas, but stick to this domestic issues. Since that fateful Tuesday, Congress had passed the Patriot Act, which allows authorities warrantless searches. Most Americans don't have a problem with this legislation as they have nothing to hide, but it's not the government's business to know yours. President Bush has decided to invade Iraq, despite his military buildup before 9/11, the U.S. military still understaffed, no clear objective, and the worst set of rules of engagement, such as not to bomb or breach mosque, which is full of bad guys. The Department of Homeland Security was also created. This department now supervises the Coast Guard, Secret Service, Customs, Border Patrol, and FEMA. The same department also gave us the Transportation Security Administration. The TSA is responsible for passenger screening. This is the pity of government incompetence. You have poorly paid civilians that are not the best and the brightest, supposedly protecting the flying public. These people have absolutely no police powers, yet search our persons belonging with no probable cause. These people intimidate and harass menacing people such as nuns, elderly, children, and members of the U.S. military, most of whom are in Class A uniforms going home to see mom and dad. The heads of Homeland Security include Michael Chertoff, American with dual citizenship with Israel, Janet Napolitano, who's big on profiling white males as terrorists, and Jay Johnson, whose experience on the war terror was a Manhattan attorney. He can subpoena, writ, and prima facie the pants off of ISIS. Besides the war with radical Islam, we also have to worry about China, North Korea, and Russia. Obama's solution? Cut the military. Political correctness has also reared its ugly head. We cannot mention Islam or Islamic terrorism whatsoever. The only mention of Islam is allowed is the lie that Islam is a religion of peace. Where we stand 15 years after 9/11 is that we have the NSA looking at our emails and telephone calls without a warrant. We have a depleted military and no help for the soldiers that did 2, 3, 4 deployments who are killing themselves at a rate of 20 per day who cannot get the help that they earn. We have a government agency that has a budget of billions of dollars that is great as filing innocent civilians and beating up wheelchair-bound special needs kids. We can't fly with toiletries or water. We are treated like cattle for crimes we did not commit nor were even committed. The government is looking at people like us, but have our enemies teach our cops tolerance and sensitivity. Our Border Patrol is undermanned and outgunned. They are now fishermen thanks to Obama's Catch and Release program. We are rolling the red carpet over our homeless and helpless veterans for the tens of thousands of military-age male refugees from Syria. We have Islamic attacks, including San Bernardino, Fort Hood, D.C., Orlando, and Chattanooga, yet we cannot mention the religion of peace. James, back to you.
A very interesting take on that, Scoop, is that, of course, we all know the horrible mistakes that the government of this country made overseas and all of these wars that the Bush administration and the neocons got us in, and we're still over there, this occupation of Afghanistan and all of these other places we're at, presumably because 9/11. Now, 9/11 is tomorrow, and I'm not going to get into who did it, who didn't do it, so on and so forth, but if you subscribe to the official story, the most responsible response to that would be what Donald Trump is saying, let's cut off immigration from these countries. I remember George Bush going over there bombing man, woman, and child, but then he would go to mosques in the United States and talk about how great these people were and we need more of them here. It just doesn't even begin to make sense. But I like the fact that you focused on not the wars, which have been so talked about, but all of the carnage brought upon our citizens here in the United States as a response to 9/11. Keith, your take on that?
Well, it's obvious that you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. That is what is driving the refugee crisis and resettlement response to it that is only occurring in Europe and in the United States of America and Canada. You don't see Syrian refugees being resettled in China or Japan or South Korea or any other first world nations in the world. There's a purpose behind this, and the purpose not benevolent towards the refugee, it's malevolent towards the white majorities that live in the nations of Europe and in America.
A very good response from you as well, Keith. So, Scoop, this being your segment, final word to you.
Final word is this. You know, we know who did 9/11. We know who did all these other horrific terror attacks. And the response from government is keep on bringing these people in. These people hate our flag, hate our norms, hate our culture, hate our history, but they love our benefits. They love our highways. They love our schools. They love our Medicaid programs. They love our hospitals, but they hate everything else. But, again, the response is bring them all in, and then let's beat up Will Richard-bound special needs kids over at Memphis International Airport.
Yeah, and that happened. That was a story we covered here a couple of months ago. But the bottom line is, see, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate Muslims. But I think we need to be separated from them. They are not compatible with Western civilization. They have not been compatible with Europe. You look at the Muslims that tried to take over Europe for 1,000 years, and there have been wars. They've never been compatible, and they never will be. All best to them. I hope they live well and prosper in their countries, but I think we need to have a peaceful and respectful separation from cultures that just do not mesh.
Trump, of course,
and this is it.
Best solution of all, which is to set up refugee camps in areas in the Middle East. That's where they need to be.
That's absolutely
That's
right.
Really,
That's
quite
absolutely
frankly,
right.
Where they want to be. I don't think these people, these Syrian refugees, really want to give up Syria forever. But our elites are using this so-called crisis that they have manufactured to displace us, and they're using the Syrians as pawns.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So tomorrow is 9/11. I remember where I was. My parents were out of town on 9/11 in the Washington, D.C. area, and I had gone to a concert the night before with my grandmother, my brother, my grandmother's sister, aunt, and uncle. And we saw the Buckinghams, we saw the Grassroots, we saw the Turtles, and we saw one other. It was just a great night. Then I woke up the next morning, and of course, it was 9/11. And anyway, time flies. Man, that was a long time ago in and of itself. And I think we've forgotten all about that. All of that misplaced patriotic fervor that happened on September 12th onward for the next year or two has completely subsided. But we need to take the action now that should have been taken then, restrict immigration, because, listen, it wasn't just 9/11. 9/11 was certainly the most high profile. How many terrorist attacks have there been by these same people here in America and abroad in the last 6 months to a year? It's almost countless now. Keith, Scoop, thank you, brothers. We'll see y'all next week. For the rest of my staff and crew, I'm James Edwards. Live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. Donate tonight. We need your help. Good night.
ThePoliticalCesspool.org.